Miracles are everywhere.
Let our adventure begin!
Discover PureFlix, your premium streaming service where faith and family values come home.
Ready to have some fun?
The most exclusive selection of quality, wholesome movies and series that will uplift your spirit.
A man can argue whether God exists, but when he looks at his daughters, he knows.
With new arrivals every week.
Unbelievable.
Save big and enjoy the possibilities, like invitations to exclusive theatrical screenings.
I see it, so I believe it.
Find out more by joining today at PureFlix.com.
From the Kendrick Brothers, creators of War Room and Fireproof, comes LifeMark.
Always wondered if my biological parents think about me.
Inspired by a true story.
Imagine how scared she must have been. And then the decision to place you for adoption.
Is that your birth mom?
She wants to meet.
Really?
Yeah. She loved you, and I'm so glad that she made the choice that she did.
LifeMark, starring Kirk Cameron and Alex Kendrick. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13. Only in theaters beginning September 9th. For tickets, go to LifeMarkMovie.com.
Breaking news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, you may not know it because, again, our thoughts are very strongly with the people of Florida today and watching this hurricane come on shore. And, you know, Janice Dean from Fox News said it doesn't matter if it's a Category 4 or Category 5. It's catastrophe is what it is. And we're going to have a lot of work to do when it is all done. Hopefully people took proper precautions, but you know that some people never do. So thoughts and prayers, and we're going to do everything we can to help when all is over. But be praying for the people of Florida for the next several days. What you probably did not know about, because you probably know about the hurricane, but you probably did not know that over the weekend, 17 people were killed by the Iranian authorities over their protests against the government there. You may have seen a couple of weeks ago there was a girl that was killed for not wearing her hijab. Protests started over that, and you've seen stronger and stronger numbers of people protesting. But killing 17 of their own citizens over the weekend, I think, is worth noting. And there were people kidnapped, and there's all kinds of other things going on in terms of the people that are speaking out there. Ben Talablu is with the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, and his expertise is in Iran. And Benham joins us for the first time here at Kevin McCullough Radio. Benham, appreciate you being here. Why are these kinds of atrocities so unknown globally?
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you. Thanks for having me, and thanks for putting the spotlight on this critical issue, because this certainly isn't the last time. This certainly isn't the first time the Iranian people have been protesting. You know, as long as there's been an Islamic Republic, which, you know, it's been around for 43 years now, there's been protests by the street against the state, meaning there's been protests against the Islamic Republic. And while the regime does like the path that it came about through street protests, it's almost certainly faced the wrath of the street because of the regime's ultra-hardline Islamist authoritarian nature. And one of the reasons you see so many protests is because fundamentally the government is an Islamist and revolutionary regime, and the population actually is a post-revolutionary nationalist population. I mean, they no longer see, or many of them not even experience, or didn't even know the pre-revolutionary or early revolutionary times, and they've outgrown a lot of this stuff. So whether it's a protest triggered by high food prices, egg prices, food staple prices, high gas prices, environmental issues, social issues, the discriminatory mandatory veiling that you've seen. You know, you've seen a campaign launched before a few years ago called White on Wednesdays or My Stealthy Freedom. That also was for women to take off the hijab and protest the discriminatory policies of the Islamic Republic. You've seen the Iranian people use every available opportunity to come out onto the street and to contest the state, and they're doing so incredibly bravely. And they're doing so at a time when Washington seems to be the least interested in supporting the Iranian people in the long run, and that in general, Americans seem to be kind of done with looking at the Middle East altogether and have their attention focused on China, Russia, or other theaters. So this is one of the few places left in the Middle East where your head and your heart can be in the right place.
What do we know about Ibrahim Raisi?
Well, Ibrahim Raisi, estimated to be about 60 years old, is Iran's president. He was quote-unquote elected, or more likely selected, last year with the lowest ever electoral turnout in the 43-year history of the Islamic Republic, because what the population has also been showing is that they are less and less inclined to even feign legitimacy or to even allow the regime to claim legitimacy abroad by citing previously high participation rates in these kind of electoral contests. So in the parliamentary elections and now in the presidential elections, the Iranian people have been sitting at home showing to the world the kind of sham elections that they are. And this guy basically got his career started when he was 28, 29, 30 in the Iranian judiciary, signing off on fatwas that were essentially political death sentences, clearing Iran's jails of protesters and dissidents at the tail end of the 1980-1988 Iran-Iraq War. And he's been failing upwards in his career, getting promotion after promotion after promotion in Iran's what we like to call injustice system rather than justice system. He's been sanctioned by the Treasury Department, I believe in 2019 or 2020, when he became the Minister of Justice. He was appointed that position by Khamenei, or the Chief Justice, I should say. But more importantly, he previously used to run a major religious endowment that used to function as a slush fund for the country's supreme leader. So when you talk about the murky nexus between the military, the business, and the religious charities inside the Islamic Republic, this is a guy who's intricately familiar with that. And many allege that he could potentially be the next supreme leader.
But he has a lot of blood on his hands, if I understand his reputation correctly. And I know you said he signed the fatwas, but did he go beyond that? I mean, he's got a nickname that refers to him as a butcher.
That's right, the butcher. One of the many unfortunate butchers of Tehran. There's been many people involved at the highest level of this regime's essentially crimes against humanity. But again, in his job at the lowest levels, when he was, again, 29, he helped implement through a 4 or 5 person what they called death commission to basically sign off on those fatwas, which basically meant sending 4 to 5+ thousand Iranians to their death. So he was instrumental in that. And that's not just me saying it, that multiple human rights groups and multiple dissident groups have said this as well. And that was, again, just at the beginning of his career. And the higher and higher he progressed throughout that injustice system, the more and more opportunities he had to exert his influence and his ultra-hardline radical interpretations upon the Iranian population.
What is it about the Iranian regime and this administration that seemed to want to overlook these types of actions?
Well, the slight course correction now is that the Biden administration, and again, you've even had people, I believe, try to even mention this publicly, such as the National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan, who served in the term one Obama administration for then Vice President Biden. The Obama administration back in 2009 completely missed the boat. Their condemnation of the crackdown of the Green Movement, which was the political protest in Tehran after the stolen election of 2009, where you had millions of Iranians on the streets protesting peacefully and were violently cracked down. Because then, in 2009, a Democratic U.S. administration was trying to tempt the theocrats in Tehran with nuclear diplomacy, Obama not just pulled punches, but even withheld rhetorical condemnation. Fast forward now to 2022, you have, something similar, but not exactly the same. You have the Biden administration at least mentioning the protests in his UNGA address in New York. You have at least one round of sanctions. You have some move at the Treasury Department to try to facilitate telecommunication support to the Iranians. But this stuff, in my view, respectfully, is still ornamental and not instrumental in the Biden administration's Iran policy. Because while they're trying to look like they've learned from the lessons of 2009, so long as they continue to keep the door open for the resurrection of a fatally flawed nuclear deal with the mullahs, then those moves will not be at the center of their Iran policy, and helping the Iranian people not move from the back to the center of their Iran policy. So just as we had in 2009, the brutal murder at the hands of the regime of a young Iranian woman who had her whole life ahead of her. Her name was Neda Agha Sultan, and everyone remembers the image of her having been shot in the head with blood running out of her head at the hands of a paramilitary sniper in Tehran. We now have the video and the imagery of Mahsa Amini in the hospital, literally dying with tubes in her after she was violently beaten by Tehran's morality police years later. So those two images of women who had their lives all ahead of them, killed at the hands of this regime, really do tell you who you're dealing with here. And to put this game of trying to support alleged moderates or trying to tempt the regime with nuclear diplomacy or marginal changes, that should put all that stuff to bed.
Yeah, it should, totally should. Ben Attalablu, we appreciate your work at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you so much. Pleasure.
You got it. Kevin McCullough coming right back. Don't go away.